day, Tony and I were able to do one of our favorite things. We were able to stop by at the layman down and play, just watching the kids play. Gabriel brought out a toy truck, and I think, like that garbage truck. Oh yeah, I like my favorite. And I said, oh, well, where did you get it? He said, you gave it to Pat. He's got the ability. Who gave it? Call it just like that. I wonder if you can remember small gift, large gift, prize gift, holiday gift. I remember my life. I remember one in particular that I remember. 8 years old, somewhere around my grandparents. And inside that bath, the maroon golf cover KJV red letter edition. Still remember. Take that Bible bath class. Remember looking at it long before I could know the craft of such a day. I look back on that gift, and I look back at that time because that, I look back now, that, like, God can go work like on faith. Right. Now, it wasn't for a number of years later that I would fully trust Christ, but it was then that I believed that I began to be awakened to the truth. Yep. It was the Bible that God began to draw me Christ. It is the Bible that is the foundation of faith in Christ. It is the Bible that's the foundation for how we live today. Today, I can say that my most treasured possession is my Bible. It has become the greatest joy and most. The Bible has given my life. The Bible has given me my pattern, my family. But more than that, it's the Bible that established purpose. It's the Bible that established all of us. This glorious book. Sir Walter Scott, widely recognized inventor and greatest practitioner of the historical novel, a Scottish poet and a historian, he had a very extensive library filled with greatest books, including his own. When he came near to his at the end of his life, he was lying on his deathbed. He cried out to his son-in-law, John Lockhart, and he said, bring me that book. John had no idea which book that, which one out of thousands of libraries. What book, sir, he asked, which got lied by. There is only one. You know, for the staff, they and I hope you have fun, but I hope you're tired of it. Bible. Luke chapter 1, verse 1, Bill. Continue introducing our study of the Gospel of Luke, and I want to come back one last time to the first four verses before we move on to the narrative as Luke lays it out for us. I want to just continue looking at this text, because as I've been reading the Gospel of Luke, and by the way, I really take time to work with the Gospel, whatever other Bible reading that you're doing, as I was working my way through this, something caught my eye, and I thought that it would be good for us to just take time to notice together. Let's follow along as I read our text for us today, Luke chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed to me also, having followed all things close some time past, write an orderly account of those things, may have certain concerning things. Our Father, have no ability and act. Let's apply. But I hear heart, pray, mind, comprehend. Four verses. Luke is introducing his gospel to us, and you notice what he's talking about. He's talking about what, how, and why. The what, the how, and why of his writing. What he's writing, how he's writing, and why he's writing. What I notice here, and this is what caught my eye, is that we might say that Luke is really giving us a lesson about the study of the Bible. But what we can, in these four verses, friend, we can actually learn very important about the origin and the foundation and the formation of this glorious, wonderful book, the Bible, God's Word. What Luke is doing here, actually, if you look at this, he is helping us understand this glorious book. How this book is by God changed people's lives. What I want to do in Luke chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, is I want to draw out from this text three important about the writing of this gospel. Three important truths about the writing of this gospel, which will serve to help us begin to understand what, how, and why God has given us important that will help us. Oh, the what, the how, and the why. About purpose for the writing. Look at it again. One. I'll read this from the Legacy Standard Bible. He says this: inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us. ESV. Yet, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us. What is happening? He's going back to the very beginning, and he's going to put together a narrative. What is that? It is a story. Story, my friends, has changed the world. He is bringing this story together uniquely. He was not some gullible man who just wrote, something that he pulled out of thin air. He carefully compiled the information about what? About, what he says, the things which have been accomplished among us. This narrative is a narrative, it's a story about things which have been accomplished among us. An orderly description of fact event, people, act, and word. The things regarding what? Regarding what has been fulfilled. Regarding what has been accomplished among us. Now, once you put your finger there in Luke chapter 1, go back to Luke chapter 24. Right at the end of the letter. And this kind of book is gospel. Luke chapter 1. Look at verse 40. He's talking to his disciples. Verse 44, he says, "Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke while I was still with you, that everything about me in the law of Moses and the prophet and the psalm must be fulfilled.'" Same word that he used back in Luke chapter 1 when it says, the things which have been accomplished. Luke is not, he is trying to focus attention, our attention on the things which have been accomplished among us. Now he tells us this, many people have undertaken to compile a narrative. Now he's not downing them, he's not discrediting them. There were many who had given an account of these things, the things which had been fulfilled among us. Think we'll find out in a moment about the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does he have in mind when he says that many have undertaken to compile a narrative? Well, it's likely that what's in his mind be at least some of the other gospel accounts, because very likely at least the book of Mark finished by this point, and probably also that, and so perhaps referring to those other account of the gospel. There were many accounts of the life and ministry of Christ. Many, not just written accounts, but also for sure, because these place lifetime, and it's spoken about by many, many people. Now, there were many things. Only these, the gospel, or gospels that we have, five, only Mark find the account of life ministry Lord Christ. There were many spoke of, gave an account of the life and ministry of Christ. Verse 3, Luke says, "It seemed good to me also." So many have given an account of life and time, Lord Christ. Now, verse, but it seemed good to me. This is Luke saying, this my determination, I decided I would down and write. Now, Peter tells us what's going on, as in 2 chapter 1, verse 21, when he says the prophet. And their writing, he said, I'll tell you what happened. Certain men, old God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That word moved, if you remember in our study there, means caused to follow a certain course of direction or conduct. What I'm getting at here is by Luke saying, it's good, I sat down and to write this gospel, what have going off here is what we might refer to as the dual authorship of the scripture. That is to say that the divine author spoke through the human author. Matt Waymeyer, in a book called The Inerrant Word, said this, kind of a link. He says, this consists of a unique influence on the biblical writer by which God ultimately revealed his own word through the pen of an author. This divine influence is sometimes referred to as superintendent. The Holy Spirit superintended the biblical writers in such a way that they wrote precisely what he was pleased to reveal to them, and yet in words of their own choice and in the style they were accustomed to using. In this way, Waymire says, the Spirit was not simply standing by, ready to correct or supplement any inadequate authors as they composed the biblical text. Rather, he was actively working within them, supervising and guiding the process so that the scriptures in their own words, words that simultaneously were nothing less than the very words of God. That's the definition of dual authorship. Here is Luke deciding to write, but what is happening? The Holy Spirit is working in him, driving him, directing him, moving him. Right. So under the control of the Holy Spirit, Luke is compiling the details so as to give an orderly account regarding the things that have been accomplished among us, the things that have been fulfilled among us, things which have been fulfilled in time and space and will remain accomplished throughout all of eternity. What are those things? Tells back is the thing about all that Jesus can do and think regarding all and he as being filled in terms of fulfillment. Like, who is right regarding what it is? Right. Telling what is what God work my friend, Bible is the sacred account of the things that God has done and said. It is the account of what God has both declared and decreed. The things that God has, that's what the Bible is. The Bible, the record of what God has done and what God has said. When you read the Bible, you are very much reading God's autobiography. So interesting that he's revealing himself in the page of Scripture. That's the purpose, the right to reveal to us God. That's Luke's purpose for writing this gospel. And broadly speaking, that I don't know his purpose for writing. I want him for process. Just so I, ministers of the word, have delivered them to us, but he also have followed all things close for some time past to write. Just God down his word to us, and there's words that I want to draw you. The first word is the word witness. Just as those from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Now, Luke goes back very in by the story here that the story ends with the advent of John the Baptist. What happened? Luke brought together that word autopsy. In many ways, the Gospel of Luke is an autopsy of the life and times of Christ. It is a careful study of the origin and details of the Gospel of Christ, a careful report of the essential message of the gospel. And he says there were eyewitnesses. Now, who's for the eyewitnesses? For a number of reasons, I think that Luke primarily has in mind the apostles themselves. He spoke with the very apostles who were eyewitnesses of the life, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Christ. They were the ones who were specifically called by Christ to be his disciples during his earthly ministry. In other words, friends, listen, the events of this book, the Gospel of Luke, and broadly the event of the scriptures themselves, are not just some made-up myth. This isn't something that Luke is just pulling out of thin air and making up as it goes along. Like, hey, these are eyewitness reports which at the time could be verified within the lifetime of those who actually walked with them. Not something that came from a dream, but rather that men actually saw with their own eyes. What is the process for the writing? It began with eyewitness account. And then we go from the word witness to the word delivered. Delivered. The ministers of the word have delivered them us. Eyewitnesses and now ministers are servants of the word. What is the word? The word is a reference to the word of the gospel. The word servant or ministers is not the word you would expect for. This is the word of under rowers. The rowers who are at the bottom of the ship, compelling the ship on, moving the ship along. They were serving the gospel. They were servants of the word. They passed the word on to others. Again, what are we talking about here? We're talking about the apostles who delivered, who passed on the word. Eyewitnesses and the apostles passed on the word. The man was witnessed, and then his message was delivered. It was passed down, have delivered, handed down, it says in the Legacy Standard. The word that referred to passing on official tradition. Kind of crazy. Jude says the faith that once for all delivered to the saint. It is a reference to the officially recognized doctrine of the church. So what is the process? Eyewitness account delivered up, handed down, officially listed down. There were eyewitnesses who delivered. And then he says this. And by the way, he say this. The eyewitness is formally passed tested, such that when the last eyewitness passed, there were no more writings which were eyewitness delivered. And then the third word I want to seem good peace have followed time past right now. Things that were eyewitness count, hand down, I have followed and Luke himself carefully studied. Wasn't going off tough. He followed on the work the Apostle Paul, and it was likely that he was able to directly speak to the people who are referenced here in addition to the apostles. In other words, he took that and handed down to them, and he did first-hand investigative journalism, carefully researching all these things. Mary's mother and saying, this have what they do. She confirmed. He follows through with her. Look, Luke took these things into account, as well as the eyewitness testimony of the apostles, interviewing those people, quite likely, as I said, interviewing like his own mother, and carefully arranging things, not necessarily logically, but thematically. He carefully moves through the life and then Christ geographically, he moves to the life and ministry of Jesus Christ theologically. And so you see the prophet delivering up truth, Luke taking and investigating, and then the last word is word. He writes it down. He wrote an orderly account, having a good understanding of all that I've done here for the investigative journalist, comparing all of these notes, compiling and putting together the narrative. He writes down an orderly account. And off writing. This is and what a purpose. Oh. What did you come? You see us of product. What is write an orderly account, verse 3, for you most know that. Know that. Know that. Hey, I've burn. May have hurt. Luke providing an necessarily chronological order, but he has the logic of it, showing Theophilus the logic, the reason for following Christ. If you are and you are wondering, is it reasonable to be a follower of Christ, you have but to read the Gospel of Luke carefully, and you ask the question, what is it? We'll have your answer. I'll providing basic, providing firm asphalt, firm foundation. Or think that Theophilus has been taught to provide certain classes. Luke was not an innovator. Luke was a reporter. He compiled and reported the story. And he wanted Theophilus to have the truth so that he could have the full knowledge of the things that he had been taught. Luke so wanted to understand the truth. And this truth was a kind of play on his emotion. What was he going to do? He was going to give him the fact. He was writing in order to provide a full orb account of the life and ministry, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that happened according to it. Writing. And the presence of the local church. And the reality. He's writing the reality that there were men and women who were willing to go to death for their faith in Christ. Have a solid foundation to build your own faith. This chapter of love, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, required his own fervent dedication, diligent research. Why? Come around here. Now, I'm going to give down dirt. Why? Last Luke wrote it tank so that all that he poured could actually cross check open to investigate. I'm telling you, these have that. back at the historic park. Nothing of what he can have as of unmistakable. God right. If what is let alone part is act. If it that for my very life, indeed, you know that the Bible is the standard Christian. Bible is the standard for life. I came across a verse really fascinating, and I want to look into it a little bit more, but just listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 37-38. He's talking here to the Corinthians about what are going on in their midst, and mainly that they're not being very holy in their worship, hiding poorly in their worship. And he says this, verse 37, if any, this is 1 Corinthians 4:37. If anyone thinks that he is a prophet, somebody's saying, well, listen, I'm a prophet. You should listen to me. I'm into the church because everybody listen, I got a prophecy for you. And he's doing things unorderly. If anyone thinks he's a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a command, what? Of the Lord. Did Paul know he was writing? You must acknowledge that what I'm writing to you is the command of the Lord. And if you don't recognize this, not just not given a place in morning order. Are the and Bible is and Christian faith is a test for orthodoxy. It's a test for whether or not someone is he. If this is one book, not all of the book, if this that I organized where I had a path. So he said, but God There are some. You know, this guy, I about the book, friend. All kinds of weather, smile, sorrow, all my friends, we've traveled together, my Bible and I, life grown weary and death even was nigh, but all through the darkness of this or of wrong, I found there a solace, a prayer, and a song. So now who shall part us, my Bible and I, shall isms and schisms and new light cry? Shall shadow for substance or stone for good bread, supplant thy sound wisdom, give folly instead? Ah, no, dear Bible, exponent of light, thou sword of the Spirit, put error to flight. Build life's journey until my last sigh, will travel at night. Thank you.